Trip is the 338th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in. If you are watching us live, we appreciate that. Log into your YouTube or Google account. That way you can chat along with us on the live chat. And I'll have you pulled up here on the old handy-dandy smartphone. And I'll involve you as best as I can in the show. So feel free to talk shit, fact check us, say hi, ask us questions, whatever. If you are not watching us live, that's okay. You can still, catch a replay, on the YouTube here. But you can still interact with us. Let me try that again. Interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at H Wrestling Radio, or just drop a comment below.
Man, Chris,
how the hell are you?
Been a long week.
It has been a long week. Woo! Why are we doing the show on Wednesday? On Thursday instead of Wednesday. What the hell?
I had a concert last night.
You had a concert, a giggity giggity concert. Who'd you?
Newfound Glory.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa.
They're still around because a coworker asked if they were still around.
Yeah.
They just released a covers album, a third covers album.
These are delicious.
Mm-hmm. Made them fresh myself. From the screen to your stereo, the movie covers. Actually, really good. The show was fun. It was long. It was good. But we ain't got time for that shit tonight.
No.
We had two shows last weekend. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 shows this weekend. So let's get right into it. What the fuck was Daryl Morey thinking trading Chris Paul to the Thunder for Russell Westbrook? Tell me.
Wait, that's what we're going with?
Yeah.
That's what we're going with? Okay. I told this to Arnold when he posted this on Facebook. CP3 can be good to elite and healthy all the time. So, and Westbrook was elite, and now he's just good. So as far as I'm concerned, it's kind of a lateral move, depending on team chemistry with Harden, because you know how Harden can sometimes be a diva. Mm-hmm. Westbrook can sometimes be a diva. CP3 wasn't a diva. He allowed divas to shine, you know? Well, I'm not too sure about Westbrook. But, you know, I mean, maybe they have chemistry. Maybe they could be divas together. I don't know.
They're going to be divas.
Oh, wow.
It took Harden to come here so that he could be the leader. And it took Kevin Durant to leave OKC for Russell Westbrook to be a leader.
Right.
We saw how far their teams go when they lead. So putting their powers combined on the same
team. Who's number one? Harden. But I understand.
Westbrook accept that?
I don't know. I understand that they were teammates before. So we're not glossing over that. But that may have been a different lifetime ago. Like, it was like 6-7 years ago in the NBA.
Yeah, after those championships Westbrook won.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
Oh, I'm sorry. The ones that James Harden won.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
No. Yeah. It feels kind of icky that Houston now basically has a team that Oklahoma had 5 years ago that didn't win anything with.
Yeah.
So I'm not really happy about that. But again, it comes down to chemistry. They've played together before. So maybe the chemistry's already there. Hey, what's up, fam? Yeah, I miss you, bro. Let's tear it up on the court. We're going to be divas, but damn it, we're divas together. You know? Or they could be divas. And remember,
I want the ball.
CP3 was like, okay, here, you can have the ball.
I want the ball.
Okay, here, have the ball.
Okay. Yeah. But what about Westbrook and Harden?
I don't know. I want the ball. I don't know. But maybe that passed fucking relationship. I don't know. So, like, again, it's all going to come down to chemistry. I don't know what their chemistry will be this fucking year.
Why do we open with basketball instead of wrestling?
I don't know.
I'll tell you why.
You fucking tell me why. I have no idea. You fucking blindsided me with this shit.
Like Vince McMahon,
uh-huh,
you can't blame James Morey because everyone in the West is making moves.
Daryl Morey.
Yeah. Everybody in the West is making moves. You have to do something. If you don't do anything, you're going to get bitched out by everybody, your hardcore fan base, because you didn't make any moves when everyone else did. You think that the team that almost got you to the finals last season is enough, knowing that the Clippers now have George and Kawhi, now that the Lakers have LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, the East is naked, but the West, at least you had to do something.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon
for even all though the East won this year.
Yeah. For all the faults of old man Vince McMahon not knowing what he's doing, at least he had enough sense to say, you know what? I have to do something. I brought back Heyman. I'm bringing in Bischoff. The first night of Raw was a success. People were talking about it, whether good or bad, people were talking about it.
Yeah.
SmackDown was good. Now we have the Go Home Raw leading up to Extreme Rules. Did you think part two was better than part one?
No. Part two felt like 2 weeks ago all over again. It felt like...
Yes!
What did I say last week?
A lot of shit.
Well, but one in particular thing that I said was, I hope that this isn't Vince saying, all right, Paul, go ahead and run amok, do whatever you want, and I bet you're going to fall flat on your face. And he goes and he has a show, and it's successful. Everybody raves about it, but Vince is sitting back there, see, I told you that was going to be shit. Let me show you how it's done now, son. And then he takes the reins back.
That is quote.
And that's kind of what I feel like happened. Last week, we had a really, really good Raw. This week, it felt like they regressed back to what they were before. I mean, yeah, they revisited that whole Maria getting pregnant thing, but it wasn't nearly as shocking. It was kind of cheesy, kind of stupid. And I felt like Vince was trying to, like, mop up that dirt on his pristine product, you know, and, like, trying to clean
his
it up.
His opinion of pristine product.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm talking through Vince's eyes here. No, it just...
Well, goddamn, pal.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seemed like it went back to...
So for Vince to take a step forward, I'm not going to be as critical yet. And I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
You like to cook.
I do like to cook.
Nice, beautiful strip steak.
Oy, papa.
You did it all on your own.
Uh-huh.
You've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
But then you need some help because people are getting bored of your strip steak. They want something different.
Mm-hmm.
So you get Porsche in, you get Randy in, you get Arnold in, you get me in, and we start adding our own little thing. And at some point, it's not just yours. It's somebody else's, or you and somebody else.
Right.
You know, and it's hard for a guy like Vince McMahon, who survived so many shells and bullets to the face with WCW and to a lesser extent ECW, but through that lore, for him to come out of that smoke smelling like, coming out of that fire smelling like smoke and still breathing, it's going to take a lot of Trent to take him down.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't mean to be morbid, but the only thing that's going to take him down is when he actually goes down. When he actually dies.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is going to change in WWE until that old man kicks the bucket. And that could be 2 weeks from now, considering his age, or it could be 20 fucking years from now.
Yeah.
He ain't going to let go of the reins until he's ready to let go of the reins. And God damn it, pal, he ain't ready to let go of the reins until he's probably dead.
There's still some things on the show I liked, more specifically.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not wishing Vince McMahon
dead. No. He'll Mother Nature's going to do the job for us.
Yeah.
Just be patient.
If and when Vince dies, and I know I say if.
Oh my God. You just said, I don't mean to be mean, but that's all I can be.
Yeah. But if and when Vince dies, I'm going to cry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that's going to be a big deal. That's going to be a big fucking day, and I'm not going to be happy and reveling in it. But, you know, goddamn, he's going to, you know, that fucking sucks. Yeah. But the silver lining is, well, maybe not WWE will change, evolve. Maybe get better, maybe get worse. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They're still pushing talent that otherwise wouldn't have gotten a shot. We're still doing the Mike and Maria stuff. We ended the show with Cedric. Travis, I told Travis on Monday while we're watching Raw, take your time during the fast forwards and notice the rule that he doesn't want wrestling during commercials. And it took about halfway through for him to kind of notice, hey, you know what, you motherfucker? I hate agreeing with you, but you're right.
Yeah.
This isn't feeling right. So when I watched SmackDown and saw them do the picture-in-picture during Balor and Nakamura, I was like,
they've been doing.
This is what they should have been doing off and on, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no excuse if they're on the same network. There's no reason why you can't do it for both shows if you can do it for one after the other. Again, I'm going to save my judgment for a couple of months, especially after SummerSlam, to see where they go.
Especially after Bischoff gets involved, too. Because allegedly, Bischoff's not involved until after this pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I mean, so that episode, right, the SmackDown after Extreme Rules, you might see a big change. But then, mark my words, the following week, SmackDown is going to be back to the status quo. Mm-hmm. Mark my words.
It's on tape.
Mark them. Your marks.
Match of the week.
Oh, already.
What are your candidates before you give us your match of the week? Oh, que la pinche chingada. Throw one at me.
Kenta versus Ibushi.
Man. Last week, I had that I was ready. I wanted it. Mm-hmm. Seeing it in person, the fear that I had that Kenta wasn't quick enough was offset by the fact that the chunky bastard hits harder. The echoing in the arena off of Kenta's kicks compared to Ibushi's, good fuck.
Okay.
It was a great match. It met my expectations. I don't know if it exceeded them, but it was damn good.
It exceeded my expectations. That being said, I think I had kind of low-ish expectations for it because I don't really know what to think when I'm seeing Kenta now. And it was a good match. But I felt like I was watching a traditional New Japan Junior Heavyweight Speed Fest bumper-bumper cars bouncing off each other match at half speed. So I think even one of the commentators even said, oh, this methodical pace, which New Japan can have that with strong style stuff, with guys like Ishii and fucking Takagi and stuff like that. You know, some of the bigger dudes, Shibata, they could have that kind of.
I don't know if you mean Shibata. You're thinking Goto, Cobb.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Big built guys, fridge looking guys.
Yeah, the fucking refrigerators. When the refrigerators are. And it's like when you have the Hulk versus the Thing, you know, okay, when you're having that slow, oh my God, he hit him with, you know, 20,000 tons worth of, you know, impact. Okay, great. But when you have two junior heavyweights going at that same pace, the aesthetic.
Or is it so much because it was kicking instead of the traditional elbowing?
Still, whichever limit is, it wasn't quite. Something was off, and I felt like I was, like, watching the match at half speed, even though it was full speed.
Then again, to Kenta's defense, that's his first match there.
True.
He hasn't wrestled in quite a while. True. That might be him getting the rust off.
That go-to-sleep was terrible.
Yep.
That go-to-sleep, I think Kelly Kevin said it was right in the head or right in the face. And it's like, no, it was right to the left titty. It wasn't good looking at all. So, it's still match of the week. Pick candidate. Still match of the week candidate.
But how about Sonata versus Zack Sabre Jr.?
Hi, papa. That. Oh, that is quite the huge erection.
Speak on it, sir.
I saw the tweet that Zack Sabre Jr. threw out there after the match, but I didn't actually watch the match until today, where it's like, oh, it's like performing Shakespeare in front of dogs, you know, in reference to technical wrestling nowadays, the type of stuff that he does. And I saw it, and it made me think, oh, was Chris and all the other assholes in the building there just not popping for this match?
Or barking.
Yeah, or barking. I don't know. I'll see whenever I see it. And whenever you were saying, oh, my God, these are the matches you got to see, that match wasn't one of the matches you said, oh, my God, you got to see. So I was like, oh, okay, maybe the match was a little bit of a snooze fest. And, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. was just being a whiny bitch about it.
But you weren't in it in the first few minutes.
No.
You were off doing other things. And then you put your head up and went, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoy Zack Sabre's style of being like the guy that Brett and Stu claimed to be. I don't know if Stu was this in his prime, but I'll take you down to the dungeon and they'll tie you up in pretzels and I'm going to stretch you and twist you. Da-da-da-da-da. And while Brett was that kinda, he was still more. He was WWF sports entertainment style who had a leg lock as a finisher. And this is coming from the biggest Bret Hart mark I fucking know. I'm the biggest Bret Hart mark I fucking know.
I would go out on a limb to say that if Bret Hart was in ECW in 97, he would be what Zack Sabre is right now.
Yes. I think Zack Sabre is or should have been the evolution of what Bret Hart was. The same way how The Young Bucks are the evolution of what the Hardys are, one generation removed. Except Zack Sabre Jr. is probably like two or three generations removed. You know? But nobody picked up that fucking torch in between Brett and Zack Sabre Jr. with the exception of the man of whom we do not speak, Chris Benoit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that stretch 'em, grapple 'em, mat wrestling, technical, tying people into pretzels kind of style kind of went away after Malenko.
Are you overlooking Angle because he wasn't in there that long?
Maybe I'm overlooking him.
Or his
him.
Downside was a lot worse than his upside.
Maybe I'm overlooking him, but still, like, that bridge crossing between Brett and Zack Sabre, maybe you could say Angle is in there. Okay, cool. But
there's still a lot of
like
space.
He's way more Brett than he is Zack, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, he's way more WWF, WWE style of sports entertaining with an ankle lock.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't fucking crawl around people putting them into
different fucking holds.
That's what this guy does. He crawls around people and puts them into different fucking holds, which is more of Malenko, kind of Benoit, but after Malenko retired and Benoit, nobody wanted to do that style anymore. Mm-hmm. But this guy, he's picking it up and he's running with it and doing innovative things with it, which I fucking like, which McGinnis tried to do for a while, but then McGinnis also became Mr. fucking
strong
style. So he was kind of a little bit too, but.
But if a tree falls in a forest and nobody hears it.
I said all that to say this. I really fucking love Zack Sabre Jr.'s style. And his style in this fucking match was brilliant. And I love how Sonata kept up with them, even though his style is more of that
junior kickbox,
heavyweight Japanese kick and, you know, do all that. But he hung, and he hung well. And he got him.
Japanese now.
He got him. I couldn't believe it.
Your reaction was genuine.
I got up and threw my fucking hat on the floor in disbelief because I was like,
put it back on.
The fuck? Yeah. I very much enjoyed that match a whole hell of a lot. You talk about this match.
Man. You put it out there. I was gonna get you to watch Ospreay versus Lance Archer because that might have been the best singles match Lance Archer's had. And Ospreay is coming into his own as a fat junior heavyweight. Like, he's like heavyweight, basically. Like, I don't know what he's doing with that belt. He can hang with the big boys now. But for some reason, I just remembered, oh shit, Sabre versus Sonata was really good too, and we played that. And the more I was watching it, I was like, man, this really was that good.
Yeah. It was fucking Shakespeare.
Yeah.
On the mat. Shakespeare on the mat, man. He fucking wrote a masterpiece, and Sonata kept up. Like, Sonata didn't look too outclassed. He wrote that just as much as fucking
Shakespeare. That's an athleticism side of a wrestling story in a match.
Yeah. And it's talent too. The talent to get in and out of all those holds and moves and this and that. See, for me, the magic is still there in this particular style and in this particular match because me, 35, going on 36-year-old wrestling fan, felt like the way I felt as a 12, 13-year-old kid when I saw a body slam. Because, oh my God, how the fuck does he do that? But now I know, oh, you just grab him by the. I don't know how in the blue fuck he stretches from one side, grabs the arm, puts him in the other, and does this and that. Like,
I can show you, but you won't be working for a while.
Like, that shit's not human. How's he really doing this? Like, I'm amazed, and the magic is there because he's doing shit that I don't think humans should be able to do.
I'm torn between this match and another match to be on my match of the week.
Okay, what's the other one?
We talked about the athletic side of a wrestling story in a match with these two. There, I felt legit drama that I can introduce to a casual person watching Tessa Blanchard and Sami Callihan main eventing a pay-per-view.
Yes, sir. That's a match of the week candidate for me as well, but please.
Man. There was, I think... it was out of, surprisingly, I don't know if everybody knew this, I've been keeping up with the Impact enough, building up to Slammiversary. This was the most well-built story of the whole feud, of the whole show, of all the matches on the card. Yeah. I thought it warranted to be main event, but at this point, I didn't put it past him for whatever reason. My main event is that match.
Yeah. It was the main event.
And they had enough sense to put it at the end of the card. People waited for it. It sold out the day of the show. People are standing for it. People are cheering. Don Callis is bacon.
Don Callis is bacon?
Yeah. Bacon makes everything better, and Don Callis makes every match he calls better.
I thought you meant our friend Bacon.
Oh, no,
bacon.
No.
I was like, wait, what?
No. Like, actual edible bacon. Well,
oink, oink. Don't tell Foreman.
That's probably how he got hurt.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Foreman.
That's how he pulled a muscle. Probably, but, okay, Sorry, Foreman.
Yeah, he hurt his hip. I'm sure he did.
Yeah. I read the book. It's all right, man. Just stretch it out.
Yeah.
But in the match, dude, god damn. I loved how Callis admitted, like, called during halfway the match. It's surprising. It's not often in wrestling nowadays that you see everyone support one person and everyone hate the other.
Yes.
And even after the end of the match, I still like the fact that Sammy's a dick. He's an asshole. He eats shit for breakfast, and he embraces it, and he doesn't care if you like him. He's still going to hate you for it.
Yeah.
And you need – they're rare. MJF, Callahan, I think that's it. As far as face heels that you're supposed to boo, that they want you to boo them to the point that you fucking boo them.
No, you want to throw Corbin in there.
I don't know if he's getting that I don't want him on my TV anymore kind of vibe. Okay. You want to see more of Callahan because you want to boo him. You want to see more of MJF because you want to boo him.
Yeah. And Corbin, you boo him because you want him to go away.
Yeah. Or most people. You may not even get
a reaction. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And man, and Sammy and the other, and
a true heel and a true baby face,
and they did what Lucha Underground did so fucking well. They took it serious. It didn't matter if you were a girl half the guy's weight. It didn't matter if the dude wore a flak jacket to cover his fat. They it looked like a dude that was pissed off at this chick, and this chick was pissed off at the dude, and they were on equal footing. And the match, even though there were times where Callahan overpowered, obviously, yeah, because of the size differential, they treated them as equals.
Yeah.
And they went with it, and they kept selling it, and the story they kept telling, 20 minutes from bell to bell. And, man, this is the part where I say I can't find many flaws in that match, and that's where you're about to start telling some of the flaws in this match.
I'm going to take something that you said about all that before I get into the flaws. I'm going to take something you said and all that and take it a step further. You said it was something that Lucha Underground did very well. They did this better than Lucha Underground.
Holy shit!
Lucha Underground, while they built the characters and the outside of the ring and they put them on even playing field character and storyline wise, when it came down to the nuts and the bolts, the X's and the O's of what actually happened in the ring, they kind of somewhat sometimes a little bit pussyfooted around and they pulled back punches, which is what I was afraid of what was going to happen in this match based on Tessa versus Christ, because Christ kind of pulled his punches. Those suicide dives were and that kind of happened because in this match, because there was three suicide dives right back to back to back. The first one looked like Sammy kind of protected her. The second one, okay, Sammy actually bumped. The third one, no, Sammy countered. And I was like, okay, well, that's a nice way to get away. God, holy fuck, what did he do? Where he grabbed her and flung her into the metal barricade on one side, flung her into the metal barricade on the other side, put her up for a DVD, threw her onto the fucking floor. Oh, shit. That's when I was like, that's when it hooked me. I was like, oh, shit, this is something a little bit different. And this is where they took it a step further. Because while Sami Callihan and Ivelisse, like, had their thing, when they had the match, it was Ivelisse just kind of got the upper hand, and Sami Callihan was going to hit her and never got the chance to, which is what WWE always fucking does.
Oh, yeah, we'll get there.
You know? But this particular match, bitch! And then she took the fucking punches. She took the hits. She took the bumps. She took everything. And then gave it fucking back with just as much ferocity, if not more so. So that is when you take the level playing field of the story and you actually put it in the fucking ring, and you put the level playing field in the fucking ring, hold for hold, punch for punch, impact for impact. That's what this match did.
To the point where when the high spots came, they built you up so well that you wanted them,
mm-hmm.
and you reacted for them.
Yes.
Dude, when Tessa hit the Magnum, the Code Breaker off the top rope, yeah. dude, oh. when she kicked out of the package pile driver.
Yes.
Oh, and the best part, don't always give them what they want. Too easy to have Tessa win. The right call was for have Sammy to win. Having the context of after the fact, he has both the bats. He's ready to go batshit crazy on her. And you know what? Game recognized game. He gives her her bat back, and he walks away and gives her the gives her her moment. That was the that was the way it should have been.
I am going to disagree with you there.
Defend yourself.
Sometimes the easy thing is the right fucking thing to do. Mm-hmm. The easy thing was, holy shit, she is on fire right now. No other woman has been this on fire this year with the exception of Becky Lynch. And if you threw a little bit more gasoline on this flame, it would have surpassed Becky. I think instead of throwing gasoline, you threw a little bit of water on it with this Ooh. With this ending. The ending is the thing that undid it for me. It undid it for me just a little bit because the story was there for it to be like, holy fuck. Because, yes, historical. Oh, my God. We finally have a true man versus woman in a match that is taken seriously. Punch for punch. Hold for hold. Bat for bat. Low blow for low blow. Whatever. All the underhanded stuff. Back and forth. Viciousness. Back and forth. No holds barred, even though it wasn't a no holds barred match. And you didn't have her win. And the whole thing with the bats, I didn't really like that either. Because at that point, the only thing that would have brought me back from that would have been, well, if like he tried to attack her and she grabbed the bat, she bit the ever-living fuck out of him. But she didn't. Instead, it was a respect thing. And again, if you're trying to look at this from the eyes of feminism versus you know, misogyny and all this and that, you try to look at it through those eyes, it's like, oh, the man won. And the man had to give approval to the woman. So now it's okay for you to cheer for her because the man gave the seal of approval. And I'm like, nah. Like, she should beat the fuck out of him after all that.
Here's my rebuttal to that.
Go for it.
You saw how good the match was.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to see that again?
Mm-hmm.
Would the story make sense for us to have that rematch of Tessa 1?
No.
Exactly.
No, I
so I get that part. The first promo could be Tessa saying exactly what you fucking just said, that I don't need your approval and I'm not done with you because I wanted more and you didn't give it to me.
That's how you
give me a steel cage.
The way you save it is by having Tessa attack him at the end of the match. Because now the storyline is finished.
Or put it on TV.
The storyline is finished because he's, oh, well, you got my respect here. Have your bat. That's the end of the storyline. Where can you go from there? There's no more beef between the two. She doesn't hate him. He doesn't hate her because why? Oh, I hand her the bat.
You saw this 20 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
I saw it live in the moment as it happened. Building up towards the end, flashbacks. You know, when you're about to die, your whole life flashes before your eyes. I've seen it multiple times. Whenever something like this happens in Impact, you always have to go back to the past. Oh, we could be like WWE. They got a short-bearded guy as champ. I'm going to give my short-bearded guy the championship. I'm going to do this because WWE did this. WWE does that. I'm going to do that. WWE has all the women on the pedestal. Oh, they're going to easily give it to Tessa. What the fuck? Oh, shit. What the fuck? Oh, what the fuck? Oh. That's my rebuttal to that.
Okay. You're entitled to your opinion even if it's wrong.
Shit.
I think your opinion is wrong here. Because I think they did enough to differentiate themselves from WWE over the fact that they actually had the balls to actually do the match the way that they did it. And they would have done it before WWE did it. WWE. Granted, yeah, I remember Good Housekeeping. I remember all that shit. Royal Rumble, Nia and fucking China getting me in a role. I get it. But this is would have been the first time on a platform this high. We're not talking about lower indies. And I know now you can probably say Impact is a lower indie, but they still have enough there where they can say they're not lower indie, whatever. This would have been the first time that this type of a profile of a match would have had man versus woman at this time. And they would have done it before WWE at this point. Mm-hmm. Hell, they actually did do it, but they just put the wrong ending.
What's your match of the week?
My match of the week. Zack Sabre versus Sonata.
Wow.
What about you? If it wasn't for that big ass flaw with who won or didn't win in that Tessa match, it would have been Tessa versus Sammy for me.
Man, my match of the week pick's actually Tessa versus Sammy.
Hot dog! Damn, we're split.
Yeah.
Okay.
But dude, that's telling of what we are in wrestling right now, man.
Yeah.
Your match of the week candidates is a man against a woman and a mid-card match in a tournament where there are two other matches above them that everyone wanted to look forward to more than that and steal the show.
So, guys, we're kind of at a tiebreaker here right now. I want you guys to let us know which one of us is right. don't go start throwing out other fucking matches because, no, you're wrong. But that's fine. Please, just give us whatever feedback you have. What should have been the match of the week for this week? Am I holding up this Zack Sabre match a little bit in higher regard than it should? Or is Chris holding up the Tessa Blanchard match higher than it should? Are we both wrong? Because could there be another match from this week's festivities that should be match of the week? You let us know. Should either one of these matches be on a match of the year candidate? I don't know.
So officially,
the
war begins this Saturday.
What war?
AEW versus WWE.
Oh.
For months, AEW has had this Fight for the Fallen show on the books. Mm-hmm. It's a charity event benefiting victims of the gun shooting last year at Jacksonville during the Madden tournament. Some kid did not take a loss, shot a bunch of kids. They're doing a benefit show. WWE said, you want to see how much morals we don't have? We're going to put an event against yours. They're airing Evolve's 10th anniversary show on the same night and the same time.
Which is the first time they've ever aired anything from Evolve, by the way. That right there is what makes it a little bit suspect. Yeah. Because, what a coincidence. The only thing, like Evolve, you're going to, like, why now?
Yeah,
the timing is a little suspect. Okay, all right. So,
what are you watching live?
There was supposed to be a hurricane this weekend, so I was planning on staying home, but I didn't know which one I was going to watch live. But I was also kind of hoping I would get a chance to do something. But now that you put me on the spot, Fight for the Fallen.
Let's break down Fight for the Fallen. Then.
Okay.
The Young Bucks against the Rhodes Brothers.
Bitch! 10! 10! 10! 10! Oh, fuck. 10! Yes. What about you?
This is like,
are you at 10?
This is like the first time you go to Fogo to Chow, and you're like, damn, I can't wait to come back.
Yeah.
This is the second helping. I mean, they set the table so well with Cody Dustin and fucking at Double or Nothing. And we already see what the Young Bucks can do. I mean, fuck. If Double or Nothing wasn't a coming out party for Dustin at the end of his career, I'm like, I have both hooks in my mouth.
Yeah.
Each end is hooked. I'm curious to see what they're going to do. I'm at a 10.
The story is there. The wrestling is going to be there. The intrigue between the pairing of the brothers is there.
The wrestling is going to be there. It's not often that you see the Young Bucks against a team with people that can actually go in the ring. Not so much Cody.
Shade?
Not so much Cody, but Dustin. He's
You don't think Cody could go in the ring?
If you're comparing Cody and Dustin, experience-wise, ring general, I've got Dustin up here.
Oh, okay.
Cody needs a little bit more seasoning to get to this level.
But he's on the right track.
Okay. You saw what he did with Darby Allin. He's on the right track. He just needs more of that on his resume.
Yeah.
Dustin has all that on his resume.
Okay.
So this is going to be a match that I'm probably not going to be I might look at it kind of weird first because I might not be used to the Young Bucks wrestling instead of just flipping around and bouncing. Maybe not even comedy either. I think the Young Bucks understand how serious this match is for Cody and Dustin, that there's not going to be comedy in this shit. They're actually going to go.
Although, on Being the Elite, they've already started making fun of them You know, where they're like, oh, I need my brother. And then they go and they fucking hug and shit.
Talking
like,
of shit to somebody, yeah. They're going to beat the, if you're not ready for him.
Yeah, like that one MMA guy with the fucking flying.
Who you got winning?
I got the Rhodes brothers.
So what?
Okay.
Yeah. Shima against Kenny Omega.
Shima's name sounds familiar, but I can't place him.
Shima, he wrestled Daniels. Shima.
Oh, okay.
He wrestled Daniels at Fyter Fest.
7.
8. Most of that is Omega.
Yeah, most.
But
of that's Omega.
But the matches I've seen so far of Shima so far, I don't see him making it worse.
Now, is there any significance in this match? Is there a reason?
Tune-up match for Omega before Double or Nothing, before All Out.
Okay, Omega's winning.
I've got Omega winning too. Brandy against Allie.
9. Now,
where is this coming from?
This is coming mostly from the fact that I know Allie's pretty good in the ring. And Brandy is a question mark, but she's a question mark I'm intrigued about.
You look
like
at her.
Like, oh, I know. Oh, my God. She's
bought out.
Bought out. I see. No, I'm enamored with Brandy. I fucking love Brandy. I don't know if she can wrestle, but I'm intrigued to see if she can. So I'm definitely interested. I'm not giving this a 10 because I doubt that
like
she's
titties. Yeah.
Yeah, I doubt that she's gonna be that good in the ring. But okay, I'm gonna give it a shot. I have high expectations because I want to see in the storyline and you know.
A pessimistic 7.
Okay.
For everything you just said. Okay. I'm just curious.
You're just setting the bar a little bit lower than me.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I got Allie winning.
Oh, I got Allie winning too. There ain't no way that Well, you know what? No.
Oh.
I have Brandy winning through shenanigans because she's the top boss bitch.
No.
So she going to do something. She's married to Cody. Cody, you know, dirtiest player in the game, kind of reincarnated. It's not a flair, but she going to do something. She going to do something. It's going to piss people off. And she going to win. And it's going to continue the storyline.
All right, JR. We get it.
She going to do something.
You just hold this side of your face when you do that.
My God, they're going to do something, right? I don't know what it's going to be. Damn, that was offensive as fuck. I can't believe you made me do that.
And he did it anyway.
Yeah, I can't believe you made me do that. I'm sorry.
Fear pressure.
I apologize. God damn. I feel like shit now. Damn. chocolate makes it all better.
Hangman Page against Kip Sabian. I'm at a 7. Hangman's a more grounded guy. He's a brawler. Kip Sabian, he wrestled Sammy Guevara at Double or Nothing in the pre-show. Bunch of flippy dippy. He was fun. Competent, good stuff. The Clash of Styles is intriguing to me because I like Hangman and because I'm interested in a guy that I haven't met yet, as opposed to somebody that I might be sick of, and I would use that same analogy I just used as a negative instead of a positive. There's more positive in here than negative for me, so I'm at about 8.
I'm going with 6. I'm not sold on Hangman. My mouth is still full from that fucking brownie. excuse me. I'm not sold on Hangman. Not yet, anyway. I don't know when I will be, but I'm just not there yet.
Okay.
Kind of like, and I think I may have said this before, but I'm not sure. Kind of like how I was with the Cien.
Yeah, Cien? You said that before.
Did I?
Yeah.
About Hangman?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think I said that about Joey Janela or something.
There you go.
That's what I said it about. I was like, I'm not too sure about this guy. He's not really quite appealing to me yet. But maybe if I get more exposure to him and see a little bit more of his stuff, something's going to hook me at some point. But I'm not hooked on him yet. Out of all the members of the Elite or the former Bullet Club or whatever the fuck you want to call him, I always thought he was the most bland. Like, what is it? He's a guy who has a big dick. That's why I call him Hangman. Okay, well, that only has so much mileage on it, you know, unless you want to go X-rated, which they're not going to go. So,
or feud with Joey Ryan.
I guess, but that already came and went, and that happened, and then that's it. So, okay, well, what is a Hangman? Oh, he likes horses, I guess, and he's
carries
a cowboy.
Around a noose.
But he's not really a cowboy, because when you say, oh, you make fun of him about being a cowboy, he doesn't like that you call him a cowboy.
Oh, Seabiscuit.
Like, okay, fucking baloney horse rider. I don't know what the fuck, you know, like. I'm not really digging his undefined generic character right now. So, I don't know. I'm not sold on him.
I've got MJF causing a distraction and giving Kip Sabian a win.
Okay. No, I got Hangman winning because he's still number one contender. Remember, he's gotta impress and turn around dudes like me to believe that he should be challenging for
against Jericho.
Yeah, against Jericho for the big belt of AEW.
Let me bring you up a little.
All right,
Kaz and Sky from SCU.
All right,
against Phoenix and Penta, Lucha Broskies.
That brings me to about 8.5. Match is going to be good. Don't know why they're fighting.
Cold. There's a lot. But until we get television, the last year and a half has been cold. We're just getting matches for sake of matches. Unless you watch Being the Elite on a weekly basis and you keep up with everything that's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is,
I mean,
I'm not hating it. I'm at an 8.
I mean, SDU's fucking badass. I love the Lucha Brothers. The match is probably going to be pretty darn good. But kind of like the complaints there about ROH, I don't know, about 3-4 years ago. The complaints were, hey, that's a badass match.
Out of nowhere.
But for nothing.
Why?
You know? Yeah, and this is going to be a badass match, but for nothing, as far as I know. So, who you got winning?
Lucha Bros.
I'm going to go with Lucha Bros.
Pre-show! 6-man tag! Sean Spears, MJF, and Sammy Guevara.
Oh, okay.
Against Joey Janela, Jimmy Havoc, Darby Allin.
Wow, that's a pre-show match?
Yeah.
Oh, God. 8? I wish I was higher because these were the guys that after the last show, what was it called? Fyter Fest? After Fyter Fest, I got turned around on Joey Janela, Darby Allin. I'm really turned around on MJF. I'm very interested to see what the fuck they're going to do with Perfect 10.
Especially with them on the same team.
Yeah. And like, he whacked the fuck out of Cody. So shouldn't he be feuding with Cody? But he's on the pre-show. So is this like a tease?
Is he
going to be still pissed off because he was on the pre-show? And we know that Cody is the guy that's calling the shot. So it's like, you know what? You split my fucking head open. You're going to the pre-show on a tag team match that doesn't count for anything.
This is the middle of the ladder. Because remember, I mentioned this last week when we were recording. The person that might have gotten the worst out of that wasn't Cody. It was Darby. And Darby and Spears are in this opposite each other.
Yeah.
So this is the appetizer for Spears and fucking Cody.
Yes.
So I'm at a 9 for this.
Okay.
Not to mention the combustible elements on the side with MJF and Spears. Like, I'm an asshole and even I don't like you.
Yeah.
So I want to see how all that mixes together and see what combusts.
But I also think that this is a mix together of things that don't quite go yet.
So what you would rather see fucking MJF against Sean Spears?
I don't know.
Would you rather see Joey Janela against Denzo? You want substance. You want story.
Well, there is story there. I mean,
no wonder Britt never showed up at Fyter Fest.
There's stories that can come out of it or go into this, but it's kind of ill-defined. That's all I'm saying. This little match happens. It'll be redefined, but I don't have that much confidence in it because it's pre-show. So I don't think they're going to put that much into a pre-show. But again, this is AEW, not necessarily WWE. Maybe AEW knocks some of the pre-show stink pre-thoughts or, you know, misconceptions off to the corner, even though the first two things, the last two things that we've seen in the pre-show didn't really count. Well, no, because that's where they had that fucking battle royal where Hangman Page won number one contendership on the fucking pre-show. So maybe the pre-show does matter here in AEW. I don't know. That's still yet to be really defined. You tell me pre-show, I think WWE pre-shows where, fuck them. But AEW pre-show might actually mean something. So,
Sunny Kiss against Peter Avalon, the male librarian.
I'm at a 5, I'm at a 10 for Sunny Kiss, and a 0 for Peter Avalon.
I'm at about a 6. A lot of that Sunny Kiss. So I think JR on the Busted Open podcast last week, or on another podcast last week, mentioned that there might be room for comedy in wrestling, but if you have a comedy match on your pre-show, people that are looking to purchase it are going to think that most of it is comedy wrestling.
Oh, that's a good point.
I would rather want, and as much as people were saying shit about Naka Naka Naka, I found it entertaining enough. It was in front of the right audience and a bunch of gamers. I would have put that on the main show and put something else, again, for that same reason. I don't want people to watch the pre-show thinking, oh, half of our show is comedy. So that's, I'm not point. Sure if I should be watching this match. And I don't mean comedy in a negative way towards Sunny Kiss. We're not talking anything about his gender, his sexuality, or anything. We love Exolicious and Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
I've loved Sunny Kiss as in ring, is that in that character or persona. There's no hate on Sunny Kiss. It's just if you have a character, which basically I'm hanging all this on the librarian. I love the librarian stuff. But for ever since Ross said that, that stuck in my head.
Yeah.
So
see, the comedy stuff should be a break from all the super serious stuff on the main show. You need to use it strategically.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you have the comedy stuff at the very beginning on a pre-show, and then the rest of your fucking, you know, dinner is solid ass fucking porterhouse steak, you're not gonna be able to get through it. Like, yeah. God damn, give me some corn.
Yeah. Where's the garlic bread? Something.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a fucking glass of water, for Christ's sake. I can't choke all this down.
Karen. I've seen you choke on it before.
Oh, choke on that meat.
I've got Sunny Kiss winning this. Easy. I got Sunny Kiss
winning. All right, yeah, Sunny Kiss winning. Yeah.
Overall, another free event on Bleacher Report Live. Overall, anticipation level for this show that you chose to watch live over the competition.
8.5.
8.5. I'm at a solid 9.
Okay.
Nevertheless, competition does exist. Adam Cole.
Baby!
Against Akira Tozawa for the NXT Men's Championship.
Akira Tozawa? Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't been watching NXT recently. What the fuck? How did that happen?
Both of these guys are from Evolve. That's where they made their big break. A lot of these NXT guys that they're having on the show are guys that got their break in Evolve before they made it to NXT. So it's kind of like a homecoming for them.
So this isn't necessarily an NXT storyline.
No.
Oh, okay.
This is just, like you just said, cold matches. They're just thrown there, other than the fact that it's as a tribute.
Okay. 6.5.
I'm at a 7.
Okay.
Who doesn't want to watch an Adam Cole match? Number one.
True.
The negative in this, I don't know if we've had this before, but the fact that they started not whoring out, but the fact that they already did this Worlds Collide thing during WrestleMania weekend, it has the vibe of something I've already seen.
It has.
So I kind of already feel like it's a given Adam Cole's winning this.
Oh, it's definitely a given.
For all the praise that we gave Impact having the balls to have a main event the way they did, for all the things that we just said about New Japan, for all the things we said about AEW, even on the NXT level, I don't think they have enough brass to, even for a month, pull the trigger and give it to Tozawa.
Yeah.
They don't. Have him on 205 with the belt. Put more exposure on the NXT brand. Put more exposure on Adam Cole if he wants the belt back. They already have taped storylines of Cole and fucking Johnny Gargano. They're going to keep that going.
Yeah.
So there's no way they're going to derail that. Just how I like the situation.
The only way, the fucking 2% chance that it's going to happen, the reason why it's going to happen, isn't because they think Tozawa deserves it or Tozawa's going to be the next big thing. The only reason why I could see them doing this is just to throw a little bit more shade at AEW.
Oh, what happened on that show? Let me get the clicker. Click, click, click.
Yeah, like, oh, shit, we really better make sure we don't miss anything else on the fucking network. AEW, fuck that. We missed this.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, not saying that strategy's going to work, because if that happens, I'm going to see right the fuck through it. I'm still going to watch AEW.
Yeah.
But I think
it's on the network. It's going to be there when I'm ready.
I think that would be their thought process if they actually do it. But again, it's probably a 2% chance that
I got Cole winning.
Cole's winning.
In that same vein that I mentioned earlier, rematch from NXT television a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Non-title.
Okay.
Your 205 champion, Drew Gulak, against Matt Riddle.
Ooh.
That, if you didn't watch that match on NXT, that shit was delicious. I'm watching this one, not live, but I'm going to go back and watch it. I'm at an 8.
As much as I went on and on and on, and I slobbed the fucking knob of fucking Zack Sabre Jr. earlier, Matt Riddle might be in that same fucking stable, or that same caliber of,
that's the future,
twist you into fucking pretzels and this and that. And Gulak, he may not be on quite the same
pace. He's the next generation.
He's still right there where he's twisting people into pretzels and technical base. So both of them together is going to be a good fucking match. I'm going to go with an 8.
Who you got winning?
Riddle.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'd say Gulak, and give me one more. Okay. Doesn't matter for titles. Doesn't matter who holds what. Just put it in there. We got the story.
Just stick it in.
Yeah. A couple more matches I want to highlight, because I honestly don't know much of the crop in Evolve right now. I don't even think you know how to spell Evolve.
No.
So I'm going to tell you a couple matches real quick. There's a winner-take-all match. The Evolve title, and I don't know what the WWN title stands for. World Wrestling Network? I don't know. I saw this kid on the episode of The Wrestlers. Austin Theory is wrestling J.D. Drake, which I have no idea what the hell that is. J.D. Drake. J.D. Drake.
Well, I've heard the name Austin Theory, but I don't really know him. And the other kid, I don't know. So I have 4.
My curiosity's at a 7 because I've seen enough of bits of Theory to see what I can expect out of it.
Okay.
The J.D. is a complete.
Yeah.
And I've got Theory winning.
Oh, I got B.J. winning. What's his name?
You're close enough.
Okay.
Evolve Tag Team Titles.
Okay.
I don't know if you were watching Impact a while ago. The manager of the OGs, Eddie Kingston, who used to be the manager of LAX before Conan took him over. Eddie Kingston and Joe Gacy are currently the tag team champions in Evolve.
Who the fuck's Joe Gacy?
I don't know either.
Okay.
I honestly don't know who Leon Ruff is, one of the opponents. But I'll tell you who the other opponent is. It's AR Fox.
Ooh. Hey, papa. Kingston's all right. I always thought Eddie Kingston was a little overrated.
His managerial skills outshine his in-ring.
And when, most definitely. When ROH was on AXS, right? Was it when they had a TV show for about a year? I think it was on AXS. Yeah, Eddie Kingston was front and center of that particular show at that particular time. Even then, he didn't really get over with me. At least it's a name I recognize, an AR Fox. Ooh, yes, sir.
I'm at a 7 just for mostly AR.
I'll be at 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got AR taking the belts, him and his partner going for it.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. There's a couple more matches on here, but I don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. I'm not going to waste time just scratching our heads in front of all these people that probably know more than we do about Evolve. And again, that also further explains why I'm choosing Evolve, choosing AEW Evolve, is because at this point, 2 shows in live, another show on paper on free pay-per-view. I already know. I feel like I'm already comfortable with the roster that AEW has now. There's still a lot of question marks on a 10th anniversary show that pretty much is getting thrown together for tributes, for the anniversary, and pretty much for competition. So they don't have enough meat on that hook for me to go to switch live.
At least WWE is not admitting that it's for competition's sake, but it seems awfully suspect. Read
between the lines?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Read between the lines.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Sunday, Sunday, Sunday?
The fuck's happening Sunday?
Yeah, I don't care about that either, so we'll give that a break.
Are we?
You have my credentials.
Yes.
Will you make any time this weekend, even if it's before Extreme Rules, to watch at least one match that's happening Saturday morning, our time, New Japan's G1 Climax Night 2? The main event is Jeff Cobb versus Tomohiro Ishii.
If I were not a host of this podcast, and if I were not somebody that has a friend like you, then I would probably try to watch something on my own. But since we have this show and I have a friend like you, I'm pretty sure that I could fucking sleep in and have you curate some matches for me when I come over here to your place.
So I'm
to
actually
watch.
A detriment.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. Well, fine.
I don't have to watch all 3 hours. You're just going to show me the two or three the best nuggets. Matches. And I could just watch
the crustiest slices of pizza. Yeah.
I'm a little spoiled in that sense. But if I wasn't spoiled like that, I might on my own go and, put the pinky up there and watch it myself.
Aleister Black against Cesaro. Extreme Rules. Give me a number.
5. Give me a number. Give me a number.
As far as the match, it's this.
A 10?
The build-up, the anticipation to this?
5?
Yeah, man. I think we did too good a job to build up what could have been.
We did.
You know? Cesaro with the mouthpiece and all that. You know what? Here's what's turning me off.
Yeah.
We say this all the time. WWE just like to stick their fingers on NXT talent as soon as they get to the roster, and in some crevice it gets there. And sooner or later you know it. I might not have been paying attention in the beginning, but beginning the promo where Aleister turned around, I was screaming at the door for somebody to come in. And then this promo right here where
nobody was sitting in the chair.
The over-the-top maniacal laugh. I think Aleister Black is too animated. Like, we shouldn't be having this now. We should be having this after Aleister's earned a reputation on a roster and knocked out some big guys, knocked out some former heavyweight champs, maybe even had a singles run with a belt of any kind, for him to have his chest out like that.
Yeah, because
apparently nothing in NXT matters once you go to the main roster. You start all over. They do something to you. They change your name 3 times. Something. So this is too soon.
And it doesn't make sense even if you're going off of his NXT run, because he was still sullen, quiet, you know, methodical, and just not spoken. Not even soft spoken, but just not spoken. Like, he had a whole fucking match of the year storyline based on the fact that he said one sentence.
Yeah.
One sentence is all it took. You know, and like here, he's cutting these lengthy promos where he's descending into madness, but I don't know if he needs to descend that quickly. All that being said, I would have bought it if the other guy knocking on the door was a Cesaro. The other guy knocking on the door is like you're watching a Jason Voorhees movie and in walks in a Power Ranger. Like, no, it's not. It's
STD?
The wrong. It's the wrong. It's the wrong.
Alien?
Fucking, yeah, it's the wrong fucking genre. Would
it have been okay if they just didn't give us Cesaro until the pay-per-view so you didn't have time to think in between?
No, because I would have had more time to think in between. Because I would still be sitting here thinking, man, I hope it's Bray, but it ain't Bray, man. I'm going to
be pissed for 30 seconds. Then that bell rings and you see what they do in the ring. You're like, whoa, match is good.
No, because I'd already be like, oh, my erection's gone. You know,
there's a pill for that.
This isn't it. This ain't that pill. Like, dude, like, I know the match is going to be good. I get it. But that's not why I watch WWE. The matches being good is the reason why I watch AEW. It's the reason why I watch New Japan. Matches being good, I kind of like, yeah, whatever. If you're a good wrestler, you don't get shit. But you have good storylines and good character development. That's where you make your name in WWE. But what's so frustrating is that sometimes they have the easy thing to do character-wise, and they fuck it up. Why? Why Cesaro? Cesaro, just the night before, was starting and, I guess, ending a feud with No Way Jose. Okay, he's going to fight this guy. Okay, whatever. Yeah, sure, whatever. No Way Jose. Yeah, a goofy guy versus a guy who's trying to be serious and the fucking James Bond bullshit. Okay, fine, whatever. But this shit doesn't fit in with this whole aesthetic of what's going on. Again, I go back to Undertaker in the 90s. His aesthetic helped with his opponents. fucking, you know, Kamala, who's this big crazy monster, but even he's scared of the Undertaker. You know, Papa Shango, same thing. All these like other pretty guys, pretty boys, they're like, I'm staying away from this guy. And it kind of built up the mystique so that when he finally got a pretty boy or got a Hulk Hogan, it was like, holy shit, this is a dream match I didn't know I wanted. But if you got Hogan versus Taker right from the beginning, it's like, oh, Hogan's just going to beat another cheesy character that doesn't mean anything. And I'm afraid that, oh, Cesaro's going to beat another cheesy character that just came up from NXT that doesn't mean anything. When you could have had serious brooding character versus serious crazy bipolar character with Bray, and then kind of mixed them together, and the aesthetic would have been the same and it would have been interesting. But here, there's no interest when it comes to the story. It's like, okay, well, who doesn't have a match on the card that could have a good match with this guy? Cesaro? Okay, it'll be Cesaro. Why? Why? What's the motivation of Cesaro to be the guy to knock on the door?
If they're trying to build Cesaro as this universe's transporter, where that's a name on the list, he needs to check it off. Guess what? I'm here. I'm going to check you off. They haven't even built him up that way. Like, there right. is no story. There's no storytelling or even physical as of just having them face-to-face and camera by camera. There's no chemistry whatsoever in this. None. Yeah. So maybe I get turned around on the match, but even then, it would have to be a fucking damn near flawless match for it to eclipse the flaws that we got before it.
Yeah. And I mean,
at a six, or I'm at a five, but I want to see the match, but just the build to this, man.
Yeah.
This is Alistair.
Yeah. This is what, like, it turned Alistair from being Bruce Lee's kid. What was his name?
Brandon Lee.
It took Alistair from, you know, being Brandon Lee, going up against who knows what, turning him into more like Tim Curry. You know, like, oh man, he's so dark and scary and broody, to like, oh, he's just dark, scary, and goofy. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's changing Alistair into, and I don't like that, because the fact that he's going up against Cesaro. Again, it's like,
he went from Black Sabbath fan to My Chemical Romance fan.
Yeah. All because...
I like My Chem, but...
All because it's like you have Korn and NSYNC on the same fucking concert on the same stage. You know? And it's just, it's not working.
Who got win?
Yeah, Alistair, I guess.
Alistair
needs the win to keep this character going. For everything to make sense, he has to win. I want a challenger. And then he gets a challenger and he gets beat? Fuck me!
Roman and Taker against Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre.
Four? No, three. Yeah, three sounds better. Most of that is McIntyre. Taker, I don't want to see in a ring anymore. I've said that too many times on this show.
And guess what? We're probably going to get Taker versus McIntyre one-on-one at SummerSlam.
Shane, I don't want to see in a ring anymore. I've said that too many times on this show. Roman, God damn it, did we really have to give him the SP? I guess we did because he beat Leukemia. It's great press, whatever. You know, fine.
Or his leukemia was just the flu under a mask.
I guess. I don't
know. It's the Black Scorpion.
I don't know, man. I don't give a fuck.
I want to be higher on this because it's actually Undertaker versus Drew in some form or fashion in the ring. Even if it's 5 years too late, Drew needs a rub like this. Yeah. But at this point in the storyline, at this point in the state of WWE, how much is that rub worth?
It's like rubbing a bunch of chicken shit all over your body.
What if Drew became the Kevin Nash of fucking SmackDown and just started beating up all the 205 guys until somebody like Buddy Murphy stepped up to McIntyre?
Yeah.
But just an example of a story that you get invested in a bully to the point where someone that someone over fucking Ali. The promos of Ali being the hero against the downtrodden, build up Ali to McIntyre. That's a better rub right now than what the Undertaker and Roman. Because Roman, the fans are booing Roman. People like you want The Undertaker gone. Something today on the WWE shop, there's actually a shirt. The dogs that run this yard. It's actually two dogs. One's got the Roman pendant around his neck. The other one has the Undertaker pendant around his neck. They're actually going with this. Like, now, after saying all that, now I'm at a zero. I actually have no plans on watching this ad. I'm at a zero. Shane's pinning Undertaker because Shane's going to be the heavyweight champion. Because
he's the best in the world!
Moving on from this garbaggio. Last man standing.
Last man standing.
Bobby Lashley, Braun Strowman.
Oh, really? That got added. Last man standing.
Yes.
Six. Who's winning? Strowman?
I guess. Lashley winning.
Lashley, sure.
I'm at a six. I would have been higher because they did a damn good job of writing them off 2 weeks ago through the LED board. I think it was too soon to bring Bobby Lashley back. They should have had them both heal up and get ready for the pay-per-view. And the fact that they brought Bobby Lashley to smash another short Mexican, it didn't move the needle for me.
I want to see Bobby. I kind of wanted to see Bobby Lashley smash somebody else and just run roughshod until Braun comes back, maybe next month or something. Like, yeah. Give Bobby
SummerSlam,
some
last man standing.
Yeah,
I would have Lashley come back the night after Extreme Rules, start plowing
and he's
through
just
some people.
Wow, yeah, through.
And then Braun's ready.
Not jobbers, not just little guys, but like
talented
mid-carders and just plow through them. Have them take out Sami Zayn. Have them take out Rey Mysterio.
Don't have Braun on television at all. Dude, or an ambulance match at SummerSlam.
And show that to be part of the discrepancy of, Braun might be bigger and stronger, even though Lashley's really big and strong, but Lashley has the intelligence of how to not fucking hurt himself, because look at this dumb ape.
He hurt himself
giving me the move, idiot. And now here I'm out here. I'm going to be the fucking king of the castle while he's gone. And then my boyfriend's back and you're going to be in trouble. Braun Strowman's back. You know, like that's what should have happened with that fucking song and everything.
Revival against the New Day for the Raw tag team titles.
Seven. New Day will win. I don't think Revival will win.
Seven, because the match is going to be good.
Yeah.
I got the Revival holding on to these.
Okay. That's fine.
That was quick. How about the SmackDown side? Three-way, Heavy Machinery, The New Day, and Rowan and D-Bry.
Eight?
How much of that is Otis?
Probably a good five. No, I'm really interested to see what the hell the Heavy Machinery are going to do in this match. Maybe they'll finally give it to him. Well, not finally, but maybe they'll give it to him have a NXT call-up that's not disappointing, because they haven't really changed much about them, except I think it's just Otis and Tucker.
They're giving them mic time, which is something they didn't get that in front of the camera.
Did you notice? They're Otis and Tucker. They're not Otis Dosovic and Tucker.
Otis and Tucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both got the single name treatment. But I'm not as pissed about that because they're not just Machinery.
Yeah. It's still Heavy Machinery.
Heavy Machinery. So, yeah. They're in the position that I wish the War Raiders were in, but I think the War Raiders.
The Viking Experience.
Yeah, sorry. The Viking Experience is going to be in.
Oh, sorry. You meant the Viking Raiders.
Yeah, whatever. Daniel Price, what's up, man? Welcome to the live chat. He says the majority of it is Otis. The Summit idea was dumb as hell. But that double suplex was legit. Yeah, it was.
Seven. Okay. A lot of that is Otis and it's Otis.
And Tucky.
But they're in good hands with Daniel Bryan leading the show.
Yes.
I think if don't be shocked if Bryan has most of the in-ring time as the heel in there to direct traffic, that could – I don't want to say it. I'm going to say it, but not with confidence. This could steal the show.
I'm going to say it, but not with confidence.
That could steal the show. Actually, can.
I'm going to say it, but not with confidence.
Put that on a shirt.
Can I say something about D-Bry?
Go for it.
Has he been kind of a low-key disappointment since coming back?
Maybe, but I'm going to treat him with the same thing I'm treating the rest of the brands right now. Mm-hmm. Wait till Bischoff gets a hand of him and see what he wants to do with it.
Okay.
And but even now, at least Brian's got a purpose because he's showing the new kids around. He's leading. He's here. I'll guide you.
However, I still think, and this is one of those, somebody needs to say it, and goddammit, I said it, which is somebody needs to say this. Daniel Bryan didn't come back from a lifetime of retirement, staying in hyperbolic chambers like the majority of the day for a fucking year, year and a half, just to come back and be a tag team champ.
Yeah, had the heavyweight title.
And nobody...
He had his Mania match.
He did. But nobody really cares. He's not the most over fucking guy that he was back at WrestleMania 30, where people are clamoring and begging for him to be the top guy. But it happened. It happened fucking 5 years ago. Everybody wanted him to be the top guy. Oh my God, he's hurt. This is the most terrible thing ever. Oh no, he came back.
I don't want Roman.
Yay, he's back. He's back. Okay, we finally got him back. Okay, good. So the toy is here now, but I have all these other toys I'm going to play with. Oh yeah, he's back. Cool. So I'll play with him a little bit. All right, there you go. Yeah. I have my pet here. My pet is back, but I'm not going to do anything
with him. I'm going to keep him over here so I don't break him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh man, I can't believe we lost Woody. Oh God, come on, guys. Let's go find Woody. We need to get Woody back. And then Woody's back. And then the sequel is about all the other fucking toys?
The sequel's about a fucking fork.
A fork? A fork with googly eyes? God damn it, what happened to Woody? You did all of this to get Woody. And you're not even playing with your Woody. Giggity.
Woody.
Abel ain't wrong, though. What am I ain't wrong about? This is Daniel. He says, Brian is just wanting to use his name recognition and get guys over at this point. Mm-hmm. He's done most of what he wants to do in wrestling. It's kind of passing the torch still. He knows he's getting old. Not even a fork, a spork. It is a spork.
Who you got winning?
Woody. No. Heavy Machinery. I hope.
I have Dean Bryan Rowan colding them.
Okay.
I think Heavy Machinery gets their coming out at SummerSlam.
Okay.
How about a 2-on-1 handicap match for the SmackDown Women's Championship? Bayley against Alexa and Nikki.
Seven?
Five?
Five? Hey, Hector. What's up, man? Welcome to the live chat.
Sorry, guys. You're on SmackDown. You better be defending that belt against SmackDown people.
Oh, Nikki and What's-Her-Face are both Raw guys, girls.
Yep, five. I don't care.
You just talked me down to a six.
You were at a six. No, you were at a seven.
I was at a seven. Yeah. You talked me down to a six.
You were at a five. You should be at a five.
Five and a half.
Okay. Yeah. I don't care who wins this match.
The extra half is the fact that Nikki is doing something of importance. That's the only saving grace for me on this. I want to see Nikki succeed. God damn it. The rest of the fucking, what was the stable called? I don't even remember anymore. Lincoln? Insanity?
Oh, Sanity.
Sanity. The rest of Sanity went, oh, that sucks. But at least Nikki, at least they're doing something with Nikki, especially with that badass fucking theme music that they all had, and they had variations of it for each one of them. Oh, God, that was so cool. But, okay, at least Nikki gets to play. You know, at least. That's all it is.
I have Nikki winning this match, but I have Alexa carrying the belt around.
Yes. That's what's going to happen.
And then we get Alexa versus Nikki. At two Raw people at SummerSlam for the SmackDown Women's Championship. What's worse? Two Raw women fighting for a SmackDown title or your Raw Women's Champion, a winner-take-all match? Seth Rollins, Universal Champion, teaming with Becky Lynch, Raw Women's Champion. Against Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. Winner take all. Both straps are on the line. Go.
If this wasn't winner take all for the belts. If this was just intergender, 2-on-2, and that's it, given the current storyline, I would be at like an 8 or a 9. But the fact that both of the belts are on the line torpedoes it down to a 4. Because, one, I think that makes it kind of predictable that the champs are going to retain, because they're not going to change both of those fucking belts onto Lacey and Baron. But there's a chance that they could put it on Lacey and Baron in fucking fluky bullshit. And that would be fluky bullshit. And it would just be terrible. And like, I just don't like that. Okay, I don't like the possibilities of the outcome of the matches. I don't like the fact that now this makes it a little bit more predictable. At least I hope I'm right on my prediction that the champs are going to retain, because the other side of it is just ugly. But if this wasn't for the titles, this was just a grudge match, just these two going at it, I'd be intrigued, because the new power couple, you know, versus the new wannabe power couple. You know, the power couple who became power couple naturally versus the power couple that want to be a couple, but they're not fucking, you know,
yet,
but they're not, because they said that they're not, because we're just professionals and we want money. Yeah, whatever. I know you're just ramming. You're going to make her a lady, ain't you? Yeah. And I met Baron Corbin. She was going to make Baron Corbin a lady. But anyway, like, yeah, I'm kind of intrigued by that storyline because of the gender bendy stuff that's in it. You know, and that could be kind of cool, especially with the man's man type stuff, and the man is Becky, and da-da-da. And the fact that I still love Becky Lynch. She's still over with me. I saw memes all this week talking about how, oh, Wrestling Fans, January 2019. Oh, my God, we need our Becky Lynch. Wrestling Fans, July of 2019. Oh, quit shoving Becky Lynch down our throat. And when I saw that meme, I was like, who the fuck is saying that they're shoving Becky Lynch down our throat? I think they're just mishandling her title situation, and that's it. I still want to see more Becky. I still want to see Becky succeed. Please shove her down my throat, but shove her down my throat in the correct way. Don't hit the tonsil. Go down the throat. That's how you're supposed to do it. But you just kind of – you're doing it, but you're not doing it quite right. But I'll still take her in my mouth.
You have not lost me in any of what you just said. As I lick my fingers. I am at a 1 for this match. I don't care about this match at all. The only reason I'm at a 1 is if WWE wants to do something to rule the news over the weekend, to have all the attention, all eyes on them, I would pull the trigger. And by pulling the trigger, I do not mean Brock Lesnar cashing in. Your number one heel on the brand right now is exactly who you think it is, and that's why he's in the main event. Give the fucking Universal title to Corbin.
You think so?
Yes.
But that also, okay.
I'm not sick of Lacey. I agree with you completely. She's been mishandled from the moment her Mania match was announced. The whole thing's been mishandled. Up to now, the whole thing's been mishandled.
You mean Lacey or Becky?
Becky.
Becky.
Everything's been mishandled. Seth? Eh.
Yes, that is what I said, Daniel.
On Seth? I'm not hating him, but like the water's getting warm. I need some ice in there to keep it cool again with Seth. Lacey? It would be a great story for her to have the title. Figure out what the fuck story you want to tell. Is she a old throwback woman, or are we supposed to boo her because she served in the Marines? I don't know what you're trying to tell me with Lacey, but I see the potential there. Pull the trigger. You can always change it back in a week, or you can change it back at SummerSlam, or give her a run for a couple of months to see if it floats. Pull the trigger on Corbin. Go for it. Why the fuck not? It's the Universal title. Remember how important that title is? Because I sure as fuck don't.
But it's supposed to, according to Vince, it's supposed to be more important than the WWE title.
Yeah, what does Vince know? He hired people to help him with the show.
True. Daniel says the only problem with that, Chris, is
there's problem with that. Shut up.
There's no chance Corbin walks into a big four pay-per-view as champ.
I just said it. Fix it in a week or two.
Okay. It's fine. Because you still have the fucking monster in the bank running around, or beast in the bank, whatever he is. Right?
Yeah.
Have him cash in the next night. You poo-pooed on it.
No, here's
tonight. Or Sunday night. You poo-pooed on it. No cash in from the beast. Right?
I'm sick. I can't do another week of Paul Heyman cutting another promo. He might be there. He might not be there. Fuck you. I don't want to hear that anymore. I've been, for the last 5 years, the person on this show, no matter how many format changes we've had, I don't want to know who the Money in the Bank winner is. I want to be surprised. I don't want to have that dude flashing around every already getting sick of Heyman, and Lesnar's not even out there dancing with the fucking boombox. It's just Heyman saying it. I'm sick of it already.
The way that you cure that sickness is have him get rid of the briefcase by cashing it the fuck in.
Yeah.
So you want him to cash it in?
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's something else that I wouldn't mind seeing.
Okay.
Because as quickly as the fans were booing Elias, the moment he hit Baron Corbin with that guitar, he was instantly over. He might have been one of the top three baby faces in the whole company.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Baron Corbin can get that kind of reaction? Do you think we can invest in a babyface Baron Corbin if he gets screwed out of the title by Brock Lesnar?
No, he wouldn't be a babyface. People will still boo him.
So people will still are going to cheer Lesnar?
No. It's going to be a double boo. Or Seth is successful. Seth and Becky are successful.
Lacey Brock cashes it in on fucking... I'm fucking Becky because she's a man too. Yeah.
Damn it. No, yeah. That's not what I was going to say. Now, in fact,
we're going to one up you.
That's not what I was going to say, but okay.
New Raw Women's Champion. Brock.
Because Lacey hits him and shows him what a real woman is.
A real woman's right.
I like it. You're going to be, you're gonna be a lady. You remember, like, 2K17, WWE 2K17, they had the thing where you could do the different custom entrances, and they put fucking Heyman and Brock in the Bella's entrance, and Brock's out there like doing the Bella strut and shit. That was a meme for like a week. That's what's gonna happen.
We just came over the main event of
Impact. You can live, but you can't touch.
You're actually grinding on the.
Oh yeah.
we praised all over Impact's main event. What did you think of the mixed tag on Raw where CN actually Becky took a bullet for Seth and Andrade, no holds barred, flattened Becky?
Oh, I missed that. That happened?
Yeah.
I was only kind of half-assed paying attention to that match because I know – as much as I said that I think I would like this other intergender match at the fucking pay-per-view, when the intergender match happened on Raw, I was like, oh, it's an intergender match. None of the girls are going to hit each other. Yeah. And the guys are going to hit the girls.
Which is why I thought it was weird after, because again, wrestling. Elimination mixed tag match. So when Zelina was eliminated by Becky,
Becky stayed on the apron.
Again.
But she couldn't get in to fight against.
But if you rewind, she made Mike Kanellis tap out.
That's true.
Again, we gave a lot of shit to Vince. We need to give him credit where credit's due on trying to make efforts to fix the problem. I think this is another situation where we need to give them some credit. I think they are actually slowly, eventually, because there's not just Triple H whispering in his ear now. I think we might be getting to some legit, not worn out like a $5 whore, not something to get the attention for Stephanie McMahon to be on another pedestal and soak up adulation. We might get the equivalent of Tessa versus Sammy in WWE.
I mean, not anytime soon. Not anytime soon.
Either Becky or Charlotte. Those two women, maybe Asuka or Rousey if she decides to come. They've got some women there that if you tell a decent enough story in the ring, you'll get the payoff that Impact got.
I mean, eventually, but not now. I mean,
they're not regressing.
They're not especially regressing.
Especially with that, with the last couple you're of right. weeks with the interactions, I don't think they're regressing.
They're not regressing, but Becky making Mike Bennett tap out doesn't mean that we're going to have Tessa versus Sammy. You know,
tomorrow.
No, well, yeah, not tomorrow. Maybe like fucking 10 years from now, maybe. When Impact's already done it 50 times over, You know, but I don't know, man.
Ricochet defends the U.S. strap against AJ Styles.
Ricochet versus AJ Styles? 9. I think the match is going to be badass. I like this story with the club coming back together. Now AJ's a heel. I want to see them try to get a second chance at making the club good. Because it kind of got fumbled and bumbled the first go around. And I'm optimistically thinking that maybe they're going to get it right this go around.
I'm at a 6.
6. Why a 6?
The match is going to be fucking bananas.
Yeah.
But I think they put a lot of, they put me through the ringer to get there.
Why?
Number one, the stupid rule of not wrestling during commercials. It just start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. Oh, Ricochet loses the title in 2 minutes. Oh, wait, commercial. We come back. Oh, the referee fucked up. We're doing this. Nah. Oh, AJ talking shit about the club and the club talking shit about AJ when AJ hasn't won shit. No, AJ's going to turn heel on Ricochet and join the two guys that he was bitching at because they couldn't win a match. What did they do on Monday? Neither of them won a fucking match. What's AJ doing there? All that to say that now that we're going to have 15 to 18 minutes uninterrupted of those two, the other downfall, you could have easily main evented a Raw for 14 minutes with Ricochet against fucking Carl Anderson. They had done that, yeah, in New Japan, you know? So the fact that you're going to just blow through that for like nothing, for nothing, it just, yeah, it felt like a waste. If you want the club to be menacing as a team, these guys all have to get over in one way or another on the person that they're feuding with.
They have to.
And the fact that both of them already lost, it's like, yeah, so why is AJ with them? He bitched on them for being losers. Now he's joining them. And now what? AJ's going to lose too because he let himself become garbage so because he hangs around garbage? Like, what?
Okay.
I got AJ winning. Hopefully they do something with this.
As much as all the shit that you just said makes sense.
Oh, it makes sense, so let's give it to Ricochet.
Yeah, I think Ricochet's going to retain because it's too soon to take it off of Ricochet. Daniel Price says this. They recycled, beat up John Cena, and just inserted Ricochet.
Ricochet, no John Cena.
No. Mm-mm. No.
Yo, main event of the evening player. Kofi Kingston, Samoa Joe.
Is this the main event?
It better be.
No, you got to know Taker and Roman. Taker and Roman's going to be the main event. Taker and Roman's going to be the main event. It is. I bet you it will.
That's on the pre-show, bro.
Shit, I wish.
I take it back then. Drew Gulak, Tony Nese, Cruiserweight title. Main show.
7. It's going to be a nice little match.
I'm at a 9.
Okay.
I was on this show WrestleMania weekend and said that the 1A, the runner-up to match of the night at Mania, was the pre-show match with those two.
Yeah.
And even then, I said their match 2 days later on 205 was a little bit better.
Yeah.
If they have this on the main card, that's another one that could steal the show.
Okay.
And I've got Gulak holding on to this.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what face on 205 because I haven't been watching.
I haven't watched 205.
I don't know what face is gonna go after a Gulak if Gulak retains.
But fuck it, that's for them to figure out. Yeah. Not you.
Assuming that they keep the show, there's talks of blowing that up too. So I've got Gulak winning.
Okay. Just to be contrary, I'll say Nese wins.
Great. I'm at a 10 for Samoa Joe, Kofi Kingston. And if you disagree.
You're such a Joe-a-file.
But it's more, a lot of that's Kofi, man. I'm going to just ride the Kofi train until it derails like a bunch of cars.
I'm at an 8.
Okay.
Match is going to be good. Story has been okay. The story was at peak 2 SmackDowns ago with Kofi. Yeah, you know, flipping off Joe. I think the follow-up to that on this past episode of SmackDown was a little bit more of starting to get back to normal kind of stuff. So I was like, the promo. You know what I really like about Joe? I like his loquaciousness. he has some verbiage on him. He pulls out big words and still makes it sound intimidating and not nerdy. He still has his fucking street cred, even though he's using fucking SAT words.
Probably because you know that he can back that shit up. You put him in the ring, he's gonna choke you out.
The shit he says makes sense. And he pulls off the thing that sometimes in this day and age doesn't get pulled off very well. And it's not only does the heel think he's right, but God damn it, the heel has a point and he's actually right.
It's not just that. So far, the only one of the few things that WWE's done right with Joe on the main roster, the buildup to his feuds, to his big matches, he does one thing.
What's that?
To where even if he loses the pay-per-view, you took him seriously because of the one team.
Oh, one thing.
Joe versus Brock. What did Joe do to get your attention? He choked out Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
Right now, Joe versus Kofi. What did Joe do to get your attention? What? He choked out Kofi in a six-man tag. He's actually got a win over him. There's things in those rivalries that Joe does one thing to start that rivalry to right off the bat have the credibility that he belongs in whatever match he's in. So he could say or do whatever. And you're going to buy it because you're going to remember, oh, that's the guy that fucking choked out Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
That's the guy that fucking – he's already choked out Kofi. He's already got a win. I need to take him seriously because he's going to do it again. And if he does it, he does it. But Joe starts the rivalry with like a warning shot so loud that you can't think – you can't sleep at night because you hear that echo.
But you know what sucks?
He doesn't win.
Sometimes Joe's warning shot is his best shot. When it comes to actually winning the big one, he's fucking James Harden. Great in the fucking regular season.
Oh, you mean Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, yes. Great in the regular season, but in the playoffs. When it fucking matters, Joe has won jack shit in WWE.
That could change this Sunday.
It could, but it ain't. Kofi's winning. Kofi's winning. Kofi's going to go into SummerSlam champ. I don't know who he's going to take on, but he's going to play second fiddle to Brock versus Seth.
I'm chilling.
You could be wrong. I mean, no. Don't get me
Bischoff
wrong.
Want Kofi as champ after Extreme Rules, or does he want Joe as champ?
I would be happy if Joe was champ. That would be a pleasant surprise.
WWE champ.
Yes, that would be a pleasant surprise. Now, to answer your question about, you know, what would Bischoff want? I think if I were Bischoff, I'd take either one of these motherfuckers. Because Kofi is over like Rover. Joe, as Bischoff, Joe, I can make this guy over like Rover. WWE, everyone else hasn't made him as over as I could make him. So if I'm Bischoff, do I want to go with the surefire thing that's already there and just keep putting more coals on that fire? Or do I want to take a fire that hasn't even been lit
and strike the match?
I don't know. It depends how lazy I'm going to be and how much pushback I get from the old man sitting in behind the gorilla position. You know? So I'd be happy with either one if I was in Bischoff's position. So... whatever, it's a pick'em.
Overall, Extreme Rules.
Six. I'm watching it mostly out of habit, mostly because I have this show.
A five. There's a couple of matches I want to watch. I can't give this a zero of one of these matches or a 10 that I'm looking forward to. So I'm at about a five. There's a couple of things I must see. I don't see myself watching this live either. If I'm at Travis's house, he's gonna be using that fast forward button a lot. But yeah, it's there. that's it for the most part, man. Just a couple loose ends before we go.
Daniel says, yeah, Joe's always going to be bridesmaid, never the bride.
Don't crush it, man. Don't crush my feelings like that, man. Would you be interested in seeing Alberto Del Rio in an MMA fight?
Maybe if he gets his ass kicked.
Then we might have found the right guy.
Oh, yeah.
Tito Ortiz,
yeah,
against Alberto Del Rio in an MMA match this year.
Why not? Okay. I mean, I'm not going to pay for it. If you watch it and you say it's good and there's some memes and highlights and stuff of Del Rio getting his face kicked in, I'll pay attention. But I'm not going to be like, make it appointment viewing.
I'm going to curate it for you.
Yes, curate it for me, sir. Yes.
Anything else?
No, bro. It's late. We need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, dude. It's 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Let's go. All right. I don't. You don't got to go home.
But you can't stay here. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.